ESPN 97.5 KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. Two in the books, one to go. 1 hour left of the big show before we turn over to the Blitz. And it's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio. Lance is going to join us because, as always, we do what others don't. He wanted to mention it on his show, the Mel Kiper Jr. story, and never got to it. But because we get you the pertinent information in a timely fashion, he didn't want to slip another minute, and he wants to come in and talk about it, which is good. And I said, well, you know, when you double park your Bentley out front, can your driver just hold on a little bit longer? And he chuckled.
Somebody texted and said, Kiper did it. There is no integrity in that hair.
Man, him and Jimmy Johnson in the hair.
That is really funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's out there. I mean, you don't think Darby Douglas from the traffic guy, he has that same hair too.
I don't know Darby Douglas.
Darby Douglas is like a chubbier version of Jimmy Johnson.
I'm Googling it now. He works at KHOU.
Indeed.
Okay.
Okay, we can verify that.
Nope.
He's got
the same hair.
I think so.
You do?
I think he's got Jimmy Johnson-esque hair.
He's got more of the Buffon Elvis dude. He's got more of a Mel Kiper than a Jimmy Johnson. The Jimmy Johnson kind of goes over more. This goes back.
Isn't Jimmy's kind of spiked up now?
I wouldn't know, to be honest with you.
You don't watch him on TV?
I'd be guessing. I try not to watch pre or post.
He's in the studio with Bradshaw and Long and all those guys.
Yeah, none of those guys I like.
Really?
I'm not a fan of Bradshaw. I think he's funny, kind of an aloof way.
Okay.
But pre-post game stuff, nah. Howie Long's all right. I don't know that I really...
Strahan's kind of overdone to me. He's just too many places now. Good Morning America.
But that whole studio thing, there's nobody on that pre-post game that I like. You?
I enjoy Bradshaw. I think Howie Long is really, really good. I think he actually should speak more. You know, the CBS studio show, I can't stand. Phil Sim, I like Cower a little bit. But they shuffle him in and out, and no one has any substance for me. But I like the Fox studio show. I think they've got some guys that I'll watch.
Okay.
Yeah. News of the day as we try and get you caught up on things going on out there in the general public. The Rams offensive coordinator is now the Titans offensive coordinator as Mike Vrabel is starting to make hires. I don't know if you saw this or not, but he covered the gamut on the guys that he hired because his offensive coordinator coming from the Rams is 38. And his defensive coordinator is 69.
My goodness.
Yeah, I got to get... My computer just froze up.
Uh-oh.
As I was bringing this up.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but I'll get it for you. But Vrabel, I think this is like his third crack at getting the offensive coordinator he wanted because he wanted the guy from Ohio State, didn't want to come there. Then kept dabbling around with a couple other guys, and he finally settled in on Matt LaFleur, who is 38 years old. And people say it's a lateral move. He's leaving the Rams because he was the offensive coordinator by title, but he wasn't calling the plays. He will call the plays with Tennessee. So he's sliding over. And then Dan Pease, who at 68 was the D coordinator of the Ravens and said he was retiring on January 1st. Let's be honest. If you come back and you're the DC of the Titans, you weren't retiring.
No.
It's just a polite way of saying you're not coming back.
Yeah, you were trying to, you tried to get out of it.
Either you did or they tried to get you out, right?
Right.
Okay, so other headlines of the day. Greg Abbott has asked for the Caroli Ranch to be investigated. So we'll see, because all of this Michigan State stuff, as we said, there's lots of stuff happening on a daily basis. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
So he's asking for the Bella Caroli?
The Caroli Ranch, where all the USA gymnasts train, to be investigated. Because Larry Nassar was practicing there. Weren't they investigated before? Well, I mean, Larry Nassar did a lot of things while at the Caroli Ranch, supposedly. So, yeah.
Oh, that's not good. I know a long time ago there was... I don't know, scuttlebutt about Caroli and the way he treated the athletes, but it was more about was he mean to him, I think, than like he not necessarily beat him, but maybe.
Well, and now USA Gymnastics has said that because the gymnasts have all spoken up and said, we don't want to go back to that place. It's got a very, very bad bad memories for them, that the Caroli Ranch is not going to be used for anything USA Gymnastics-wise either as they continue to make changes. And Nick, the guy you brought up, Travis Walton, who had allegations when he was at Michigan State, who was the G League coach of the Lakers now, he's now out speaking for the first time saying he's denying any involvement in any kind of assault allegations from 2010. So we'll see how that goes, because Paula Levine, who was the ESPN Outside the Lines reporter that is all over this story, I'm sure will not let that go without a further investigation.
And wisely so. I was looking at TMZ. I like to keep up with what's going on in our world, and I think TMZ is a fabulous. I couldn't even finish it. Do you know who DMX is? Rapper?
Yes, I do.
Nick, is he on your list?
Absolutely. Yep. I'm not Mount Rushmore, but yeah.
No, but I mean, you're a fan. Yeah. Going back to jail, failed a drug test.
Oh, no. Yeah, but I saw him in an interview, I want to say 8 months ago, and he just did not look good. He was shaking, and
that's sad, man.
I didn't want to watch it. I couldn't watch the whole interview because I was a fan of DMX, and when I saw him on The Breakfast Club, I want to say it was a year ago maybe now, I couldn't go through the whole interview because...
That bad, huh?
Yeah, he was obviously either on drugs or dealing with the after effects of taking drugs throughout his life.
That sucks, man.
So...
I always remember that bit where, I don't remember the comedian, but he was talking about meeting DMX and how small he is. Because you hear
him. Well, his voice, he seems kind of,
he talks about being a dog. And
I think it was Cat Williams who had that bit.
Yeah, and then he's like 5'2".
Well, yeah. Into what
little
these
ass dude.
What these bitches want.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, do you know who Mark Salling is?
No clue.
Negative.
You guys not a big fan of Glee?
No chance.
You never watched Glee?
I was told I should watch it, though. I was told
I watched Glee all the time.
Was that the one where the guy died?
Hung himself.
Yeah.
Killed himself. What, in Glee?
Yeah, like in real life.
One of the guys, his name is Mark Salling, and he committed suicide by hanging. It was being reported.
No, but one of the stars was dating, wasn't it Lea Michele? Is that right? Or someone like that?
I don't know.
A couple years ago? And then either committed suicide.
This guy, he's a former, he pled guilty to possession of child pornography. The former Glee star was awaiting sentencing after pleading guilty to possession of child pornography involving prepubescent minors.
When did he kill himself?
Killed himself. This is breaking on TMZ right now.
Okay, this one. As the one 10 I'm o'clock talking about this morning. Was a few years ago, I believe.
I don't think he killed himself. I just think he died, though. I'm with you. I think it did happen, but the one he's referring to just happened.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Glee, it was a, they used to sing on it. And I'll be honest, I was like, this is stupid. I don't want to watch this show. And then, of course, my wife is the boss. And so she was watching Glee. And for whatever reason, I would just sit on the couch on my laptop. And then I noticed I started watching Glee more. I was like, okay, I mean, it's kind of corny, but they can sing. And they would do mashups on songs and make it different. I mean, it wasn't like appointment viewing for me, but I would sit and watch it.
I was told that if you watch the previews or the promos that they put on TV, you may not become a fan of it, but if you actually watched it.
Watch the show, it's a lot better.
Yeah.
Not a show dudes are running around to tell people, hollering
exactly
about watching. But I bet you there's a lot of guys that'll send in a text or a tweet to make fun of me, but are closet Glee fans for sure.
So, yeah, I found one of the articles where it was in 2013 that Corey Monteith passed away. They Lea Michele was dating actor Corey Monteith in 2008 when they were both cast on Glee. In February 12th, the media reported they had begun dating, and they remained together until Monteith's death in 2013.
There you go.
So there you have it. That's all I know about Glee.
Cody said, I saw DMX in concert. It was horrible. The grunt was the only vocals he actually did. It's probably all he can remember.
Yeah, he looks bad, dude. I'm telling you, watch that.
It was the only one he can remember. YouTube.
And search DMX Breakfast Club interview.
He
it's
does
bad.
Make some good music to work out and run to, though.
I agree with that. I've got several on the playlist when I'm working out, but yeah.
I don't know who texted this, but you are not my friend. It says, being a cat owner, licking microphones, and now admitting to watching Glee. Barry, I'm starting to think you're not black. First of all.
Yeah, he was licking the microphone. That's a fact.
It's just that's the most ridiculous thing ever to try to put that on me. As disgusting
look,
as these
the
are,
listener is willing
look,
to believe
I
that.
I turned just to see you taking it out of your mouth, but I wasn't sure what you were doing with it. I just
now
I
it's mean, in my mouth.
I just quickly turned Boy. And thought, "Here's a germaphobe that's actually
he pushed the gas
the microphone.
Pedal on that rumor."
You guys will say anything.
Wow.
Really? You will say anything.
Well, you're aggravating me with the way you were licking your whatever it was that you were licking.
A knife that I used to stir my coffee with.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Say fancy anything. Cup of coffee that one of your favorite movies?
I noticed when I was licking it, Nick was kind of fascinated by it.
No, I was aggravated. Yeah. Not
no,
fascinated.
Oh, okay. Aggravated, whatever. Why was your pants down?
He has a window.
Yeah.
He can see you.
I can totally see you.
You can't
one
see
hand
you.
In the pants. I saw
no, you.
You
cannot. You
one hand on the
me.
Fader, one hand in the pants.
You
I was looking, like, what is this?
Wait,
why
you were looking for change,
now you're
right?
making it weird.
You were just trying to make change for someone in the hallway?
I'm over here just making
your hand
coffee.
Was in your change
you're
drawer?
Over there making soup in the pants. That's not right.
Nick, you were right, by the way. Corey Monteith died of toxic combination of heroin and alcohol.
Damn.
So that, but it wasn't ruled. It was so.
Not,
it was so he that, just overdosed.
It was an overdose,
I guess it's not a suicide.
I
yeah.
guess, yeah.
Man,
yeah, he was on Glee. I'm surprised you don't
so
know
Glee,
that.
So Glee, calm down, y'all are just
yeah,
ruining people's
down,
lives.
No.
Well, actually, the second guy. Had
yeah, I mean, I'm not shedding a tear for him.
The second guy. The second guy knew
an
his life was
child
over. Yeah,
porn guy. I'm not going to shed
and
a
he,
tear
and
for him.
And he killed himself. Yeah. So.
We're still looking for Lance Zierlein, by the way. I guess I didn't tip the driver enough to keep him around so that Lance would actually do what he said he was going to do before he got back in the Bentley. But we'll see if we can't find him during the break and bring him back in. But we're going to continue to roll on either way. This is The Usual Suspects, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. Hey, look who I found with the Bentley double parked out front. Farnsworth Bentley is holding, as we tipped him enough to hang in there, while the commander-in-chief of Greece joins us, Lance Zierlein. You're yawning. I mean, I know you sleep here.
No, I do kind of.
But at the same time, we were talking about this story about Mel Kiper Jr. maybe yeah. getting greased under the table to get guys on the big board.
That sounds fun, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure. And you might not lose your footing. But at the same time, your thoughts on this story and how easy those kind of things might happen.
You know what? It really can't. The first thing you have to... Okay, so first, the first poor assumption is that draft media guys have any impact on war rooms at all. They don't. They don't.
So guys like
respect,
you don't impact them?
Imagine that. Not one That's single shocking. Bit. They may respect your opinion, and they may take a look at a guy. You know, you may say, hey, you need to look at – have you looked at this guy? No. You like him? Yeah. Okay, I'll go look at him.
Okay.
It's not going to change how they slide. Unless they – now, here's how you can impact them. If they think you have something from a team, not what your opinion is, but if they – but if a team thinks a player they like is being targeted by another team – and they think that you have that information somehow or that your mocks have that information or something like that, they will pay attention to that. Your opinion is borderline irrelevant to NFL teams, even respected guys, because it's not going to sway what they do. They have their own, you know, they have their own opinions they have to formulate. The only thing that they really care about is if you have information from other teams where players can go, then they will pay attention to what you're saying. So Gary, I think it's Wishard. I don't know if it's Wickard or Wishard who's passed away. He was the one who was, and I remember when it first came out, he was the one who was accused of having Mel Kiper push his guy, God, that goofy quarterback from Notre Dame.
Jimmy Clausen.
Jimmy Clausen.
That's the one where he guaranteed.
Up the board.
And said he'd quit by 2018 if Clausen yeah. wasn't a success.
Yeah, and that was, now, I'm going to be honest with you. I think that is feasible. I think that is feasible that somebody could not necessarily be paying Mel, but could be giving him information. And I do think that kickbacks to, I mean, it's just like anything else. If somebody says, hey, I'll hook you up if you just give my guy a boost. Why is that? That's not completely outrageous. Now, for Lawrence Jackson, and that's who the story emanates around. For any agent to tell him, I can guarantee you'll get drafted higher because I got Kentuan Ballmer drafted higher from NC State, and that was a client. That's not, you can't guarantee any. Their agents want players to believe that because they're going to sell them. At the end of the day, some of these guys are pimps, and they're going to try to spit game to players the same way to try to get them on their track, in their fold. And they want,
that explains right there. Mel Kiper's a pimp. That's what the hair's about.
No. I'm saying the agents. And so if the agents make a player believe, I can get you drafted in the first, look what I did. Look how this guy get drafted. The bottom line is agents don't get guys drafted in the first. Now, I thought Drew Rosenhaus did a good job of selling whoever. He made you believe he sold Buffalo on the idea that Willis McGahee was going to be fine physically, and that's why they drafted him. And maybe he did. Remember when Willis tore his knee up?
Oh, it was ugly.
Against when Ohio State played Miami, and then the kid still got drafted in the first round, and his face was front and center, was prominent, because he was so proud that his guy went in the first round, and he felt like he's the one that
vindicated,
did that.
Vindicated, right?
I don't know if Mel Kiper, I don't know if Drew Rosenhaus had anything to do with him getting drafted there, if he talked teams into it or made them believe that some other team was going to draft him. That's what they have to believe. But, Mel Kiper no agents can get guys drafted in the first round because they get to Mel Kiper. That's just, especially in this day and age, because he's not at the top of the food chain anymore.
But if I come to you as a draft expert and offer you, hey, do you think you could create some buzz around my guy? And maybe it's just a matter of that teams aren't looking at him. And if I can get you to create some buzz, then teams would look at him.
Yeah.
And there might be a benefit in that regard, right?
Well, it happens with me. Although it's not like that. They just say, man, you're missing it. You better take a look at this guy.
You've never had anybody offer you anything?
There's a lot of people buzzing about
this.
Come
on, Starbucks?
No, nothing. I would listen.
I know.
No, I've gone to dinner with agents. There's some agents who get, ticked off at me because I'm not going to curry favor. I'm never going to risk my credibility over anything. My opinion matters to me. I don't want to be wrong on these
guys. I was going
to
say, consistently you couldn't do this because eventually your track record speaks for itself. And you can prop a guy up, and the minute that he is a lead balloon, it's on you.
Yeah.
So whatever prop you got or whatever under the table greasing you got, it better be pretty good, because sooner or later people are going to go, I don't read his stuff because he's not accurate.
I've helped a friend of mine out. We played basketball together. He's an agent, a smaller agent, and he's had a client that I thought was decent, and I've told the team about, hey, this guy's not bad. You might want to take a look at him as like an undrafted free agent. Mm-hmm. That's hardly.
Right.
That's getting a guy into camp. But no, that actually is a good question, Barry, because you do have guys who try to make you believe or make me believe that there's a lot of buzz, like other teams, or, boy, you're kind of missing it with this guy. And I don't take it personally. It's, it's their job. If I start buzzing about a guy, then maybe they'll think someone else will catch on, because some guys are copycats in this business. And if they start hearing it from people they respect, they'll start saying the same thing. The problem is, that's our world. The draft media world is different than the real world,
sure,
sitting in a war room, real NFL team world. It's just fans don't know that. That's why fans say, oh, you're way too low on this guy, Lance. Based on who? Based on other people you're reading in mock drafts? None of these guys are watching as many hours as I am.
But be honest, if a guy comes and drops a name on you, just because, the rumor train can pick up steam, and before you know it, it's an engine, someone drops a name, you're still going to go look at that guy.
Yes. Well, what do you mean by someone drops a name?
So maybe some guy you might have missed, something like that, and someone goes, hey, man, you're missing the boat on this guy, and he looks like he's great, not to be pretty good.
An agent or a player?
It doesn't matter. Someone says it to
you. It does matter to me.
But secretly, whether you do anything with it or not, you'll go back to your room or wherever you are and go, let me check this guy out again.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not afraid. I got to get through 500 players. There are some days where I'm more tired than others. There's some guys that I may expedite faster than I want to. And if I miss on them, it happens all the time.
Sure.
I got to go back and take a look and say, what did I miss? And if it's an agent who I don't think blows smoke and is being legit about, hey, there's some teams that really like him. And there are agents who try to sell me who also are right about that too. Yeah, you're right. I will go back and look just because I don't want to miss on them.
Now, you talked about not wanting to destroy your credibility, and it's such an inexact science anyways, right? It's It's your evaluation of the team, of these players. And like you said, every other team and every other evaluator may look at things differently. Yeah, you look at some of the basic fundamentals, but then you got to start ranking guys and who do you slot where. And yeah. How, I mean, what do you think an acceptable success rate for mock drafts are? Because they're all over the place. It's so difficult to predict.
So here's the thing. A mock draft is irrelevant because all you're doing is trying to predict what other people will do.
What teams are thinking.
The only thing that matters, what teams are thinking, the only thing that matters. See, fans get hung up on mock drafts. All I care about is I want to be accurate with my analysis of players. So
That's a great point.
But a lot of people don't analyze players. I have to analyze them, strengths, weaknesses, and all that. Other people want to get mock drafts right. That's fine if you get them right, but sometimes it means you're connected on some different levels with people who know. What really matters, and this is the hard part, and this is what you alluded to, is what the Indianapolis Colts look for might be completely different than what the Green Bay Packers look for. What the Raiders look for, their board may be a completely different board or a completely different philosophy about what's important to them than the Chargers. The Chargers may say, this is the most important thing to us. One team could say, we covet tall guys who make plays on the ball at cornerback. Another team can say, we want guys who are fast with makeup speed.
And hip turn.
Who are really fluid, hip, loose guys. Ted, you know this. So Ted Thompson from Green Bay, big corners. One year he said, you know what? I'm going to be open to getting smaller corners. And he went with some Arkansas kid who ended up flopping.
How long ago?
Probably late 2000s. Ahmad Carroll, maybe?
Yeah.
Is that it?
That might be right. Yeah.
And Carroll, he went below his standards of 6 foot corners. That was his standard. And he dropped below and he didn't end up being a player. And he's like, screw this. We're back to tall corners.
Go back to my philosophy.
So essentially, what we've learned from this process, too, is you get your kickbacks coaching AAU basketball because it's not quite the same as being just a talent evaluator for the NFL.
I mean, yeah, if somebody will give me money on the AAU circuit, don't even talk about kickbacks and AAU.
I know.
That's all it is.
It's corrupting the entire basketball world.
If Team Adidas wants to, send me stuff, then
what about what if Team MedCenter wants to take a look at that foot?
I mean, hey, if I don't have to pay my deductible,
there you go.
Let me know who your player is, and I'll push him up the board.
Grade out just a little better.
I'll push your player up the board if I don't have to pay a deductible on an MRI.
We appreciate you crawling out of the cave and spending some time with us. That was some pretty good stuff. Lance Zierlein right there. You can hear him on the bench Monday through Friday with John Granato and Raheel Ramzanali right here on ESPN 97.5. We'll be back with the final half hour of the big show right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final half hour of The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio doing what we do all the way to Radio Row, but they just call us because that's the way we do it around here because we're just kind of carry that much clout. So Orlando Pace, the Hall of Famer, called in. Lance Zierlein took time from his busy schedule of accepting bribes to talk about some things that we had talked about with Mel Kiper Jr. If you missed anything, check the podcast. Other news of the day, by the way, John Wall looks to be out up to 2 months after suddenly having knee surgery, after all the rumors that everybody on the team doesn't like him and all the other things. This looks like a wasted, lost season if you're a Wiz fan. Washington, I worry about Scotty Brooks now, but we'll see what happens there. And other news, the Indians yesterday agreed that they are removing logo Chief Wahoo from their uniforms, not this season, but coming up next season, saying that they have heard the cries from the people of American Indian descent, and they're going to agree with Commissioner Rob Manfred, who said that after lengthy discussions between the ownership and MLB, that it's time to build a culture of diversity and inclusion throughout the game. And they have encouraged the dialogue with the Indians to make the change. They're happy with the decision.
But I like the part where they said they'll still sell They'll still wear the Wahoo logo on its uniform sleeves and caps in 2018. And the club will still sell merchandise featuring the mascot in Northeast Ohio. So it won't be anywhere else, but you can still get it in Northeast Ohio so that the team can maintain a retail presence so that the MLB and the Cleveland Indians keep ownership of the trademark. Because if they don't sell it, then they could lose the ownership of that trademark and then other people could use it.
And this just in, even if you don't live in Northeast Ohio, you have the internet.
Yeah, you could probably still get it. Mm-hmm. So, it's one of those things, it may not be offensive to you and me, but if it's offensive to enough people, then it's offensive. And it was created in 1947, which was a different time in our country when it came to sensitivity amongst races and so forth. So it might be time.
And here's the thing, though. The name's not changing. So the Indians is still going to be affiliated with Cleveland. And, of course, the next question is, because the other team that was mostly scrutinized about their logo and their name was the Redskins. And Roger Goodell says that Dan Snyder won't change the Redskins' name. He's not changing regardless of what anybody else does. So we'll see if he gets more pressure now, too, because this story's not going away anytime soon either.
Yeah, I'm curious. Is the Redskins, are they saying it's considered a slur?
Like offensive?
Yeah, is that considered, and Indians isn't?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously the logo clearly states of Indian descent,
right,
on the Redskins helmet. And that is their primary logo. You know, Cleveland's got all the different logos. They got the C. They've got, by the way, compelling, just the plain C.
No, he's not a big fan of that, huh?
So boring. AJ has one of their hats, and I'm always like, God, they could do so much more. But yeah, so the Redskins aren't going to change. The Indians are to some degree. Nick brought up a great point that someone brought up on the internet. Does that mean that people that are alcoholics are going to finally start challenging the Brewers to change their name too?
Stop it.
Look, don't they're
you
literally. Start, they're
you know how many offended astronauts there are in this world that want the Astros to change their name?
They're actually changing names all the way down to the high school level, because I remember speaking about it with, David Gao and I think Granato at one of the parties, and they were talking about how the football team, or at least the high school team, decided to change their name because parents found their name to be offensive. So expect the trend to continue for a while, because there was a lot of names that were made for not just professional organizations in the NFL, NBA, MLB, but like at the high school and college level, even division like two. Type
oh, no doubt. It's definitely been have names that very shouldn't... prominent in all levels of college.
Yeah.
And then, you know, even I went to the University of Wisconsin La Crosse. When I first went there, we were the Indians. By the second year, we were the Eagles, because there was an outcry there. So the one thing in high schools, you would think that they'd also feel the pressure to do that. But the other thing is they got to start stop stealing, too. Every high school I see has an NFL logo. Especially down here, there's
high schools?
The Eagles, the Broncos. Even if it's a different horse or a different bird, they're using the Philadelphia Eagles logo, the Broncos logo. I see all these different NFL logos. I'm like, damn, that'd been so sweet to be playing high school ball with an NFL logo on my helmet.
I think it's the Woodlands that actually the W looks like the Wisconsin W.
Yes, it does. Yep. Yeah.
Do you you a big Woodlands fan?
No. And I think it's dirty that they're stealing.
Really?
It started with the.
You don't think there's any agreement that's been made with the NCAA and the NFL between high school?
If A&M sues the Seahawks for the 12th man,
that's a different way. I mean, this is publicly funded high schools, not for profit or whatever.
Oh, I'm sure.
NFL's for profit, so they're it's completely different than
not
high
only
school.
That, but Texas A&M, they had that protected, like copyrighted, the 12th
well,
man
the
thing.
Well, I think his point is the logos are protected, but what I'm saying is the Seahawks are getting sued
right,
by A&M.
Right.
Because the Seahawks are strictly for profit, but a high school that wants to use the Wisconsin W on their helmet isn't a for profit entity.
But that's a university. I'm talking about NFL teams that are getting their logos, because again, if they change the colors on it, now you're there's a word for it that I'm not getting here, but you're changing, you're not defaming the logo, but you're doing something you're altering it, which you can't do anyway. You can't change the colors and things on the whatever the logo is trademarked to.
I don't know about that. I'm not a trademark guy.
Yeah, I had to deal with it a lot in my past life, and I know you can't do that. Now, I think, of course, they would be highly scrutinized if the NFL lawyers came down on, you know, a high school here in town for using the logo of the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, somebody texted us and says, so the term Indian is offensive. That's ridiculous. No, I don't think the term Redskins I'm questioning is that term considered
or the logo
offensive
in the Cleveland case because right. they feel it's
the
not
big the big
flattering.
Smiling yeah. and the teeth and the overly yeah
one feather and all that
right. So I think that that is what was considered offensive in regards to the Cleveland Indians, and in regard to the Washington Redskins, yeah, it's probably the picture, but just as much I think that I mean from what I've been told or read or heard that the name the term Redskins is offensive.
Yeah, for sure. So. You got that right. All right, so we got one segment to go on the big show before we turn over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz. They'll take you home till 7 o'clock, so no need to adjust. We'll make it worth your while. Come back for the final one, and then we'll turn it over to those guys. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel as we take you up till 4 p.m., we covered the gamut today. We got a lot.
We do. We settled on our Way Back Wednesday theme.
Yes.
Juggalo Trey wins for the idea for Way Back Wednesday. It will be songs that have been sampled. So songs that have been famously sampled. An example that Nick gave that is a good one is The Police, Every Breath You Take, which was used by Puff Daddy. Oh, look, he's got it ready. Look at you. You were ready to go, firing it off.
James Brown. Yeah, so you guys can't take this song, by the way.
Oh, totally. I'm already, my email's half done already. No, but like James Brown, Funky Drummer. Things like, a lot of James Brown songs
were sampled.
I got a
lot going through my head. I'm not mentioning them because I'm not having you guys steal them.
Oh, trust me. I'm not worried.
Okay, DJ.
I am not worried in the least. I will be able to come up with 8 creative songs that, you know, because I'm sure you're just going to go back to your standard Prince and Michael Jackson. And
you done?
Yes, I'm done.
Because right about now in the show, we need to get to a guy named Skip. Skip, what do you got on the line? Skip, you want to get in here. Skip, join the show. What's up, Skip?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
What's up, man?
I can't look it up right now because I'm driving, but check this out. That was a high school in Pennsylvania. They combined the two high schools, right?
Okay.
So they couldn't use the mascot from either school. So they asked the senior class, what did they want to change the mascot to? And they said they wanted to be the Cougars. And could you believe that that was a certain group of women in said town that took offense to them changing their name to the Cougars?
Skip, are you making this up or is that true?
I am not making this up, man.
Was the logo the one you see on the back of trucks where it's the silhouette of a hot chick?
I don't know what the logo was, man. I just thought that was
old droopy jugs.
Yeah, they take that logo on the back of trucks and just droop the jugs a little bit, poof up the hair more.
Skip, that's hilarious, dude. Thank you for adding that. That is too funny.
All right.
Appreciate you calling. All right.
Now, Lamont said the following, and I'm not one to kick a hornet's nest, but.
But you are.
He tweets and says, white people are more offended about racism than anyone else on this planet. This is how you know Lamont is a troll.
Big time troll.
That is just absolutely a blanket statement, no basis of fact whatsoever. Most decent people, Lamont, are offended by racism, not just white people. Most decent people find it offensive. So please stop trying to narrow it down to one. I find that offensive. Just kidding. I don't find it offensive. I just find it silly that you would try to paint with such a broad brush on a topic that usually is the reason you talk about it is because people paint with a broad brush like that.
Manuel brings up a good question, though. What about Florida State and the Seminole? Because that's not offensive, because Seminole is just an Indian.
Well, okay, so I don't know this to be true. And you're right. I think a Seminole is just
a tribe or a certain denomination.
It'd be like being the Cherokees or something like that. Right. I don't know if that would be as offensive. I don't know. That's why I say that because right. I'm I'm not a Cherokee, so I couldn't
tell you.
You're
not well-versed.
I couldn't tell you. Well, I'm not Cherokee. I wouldn't know if that would be offensive to me. But this dude, Erland Quintana, on Twitter said the following, and I don't know this to be true. I'm going to Google it because I'm dying to know now based off what he said. But he said Redskins doesn't mean the color of the skin. It means the blood that would run from Native Americans after scalping. That's the original meaning of the word. It is offensive to Native Americans. So
yeah, that there was like a
I have no idea if that's true or not. I'm gonna have to look that up. But I don't know if that would be offensive or not. I just find that fascinating if that's the real reason. I always thought it referenced color of skin, but that's my own ignorance.
I do know there were third party organizations that literally tallied all the people that were offended by the name, and there were like tribes, there was a bunch of like Native Americans that were offended by the name, and I think they tallied somewhere in the seven figure ballpark, but I don't know how many people exactly. So there is people definitely offended by the name, but Daniel Snyder, like Joel mentioned, he's kind of maintained his stance since the controversy really, really rose to attention. I want to say the year before last, not last season, but the year before last, something like that. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely people documented saying that they find it offensive. So
I find it hilarious that cougars, that old women would be offended by the cougars.
If that's true.
No, I read it up. It was in Utah. The school board made it.
Say no more.
Yeah, there you go.
Say no more.
Yeah, they said the mascot. The mascot was too offensive for women. Because
this is also the place.
Cougars have the name cougar has a negative connotation.
No, it doesn't. The name cougar means middle-aged.
Hey, by the way.
Hot middle-aged women. That's not negative in any way, shape, or form.
That's how they described it, a negative connotation.
Utah people, what's the mascot of Brigham Young? They're the Cougars.
Look at that.
Look at that. Negative?
And it should have just been a dude with like four wives.
Right.
That could have been the mascot.
I mean, come on, man.
That was too far?
Yeah. And by the way, Utah, this is where you have to get a sponsorship to go to the bar and have a beer.
Right.
Yeah. And you're worried about Cougars?
The fact that they would try to use it in a pop culture reference, because that's really what a cougar is if you're saying it's a middle-aged, attractive woman. That's a pop culture reference. It's kind of silly. That'd be like saying, oh, you can't be the Nashville Predators because that means sexual predators, and you can't be that. That's just stupid.
They ended up going with Charger because they felt like the mascot was. But it specifically says the Cougar mascot would be inappropriate. What kind of mascot are they having? Is it literally like
Daisy Dukes?
It's an old woman with like four teenage boys around her.
Yeah, I mean, if it's the cougar, like a mountain cat cougar, then it's different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what we have.
A face that doesn't move with big hair and fake boobs and Daisy Dukes.
Could be.
You know? I don't know.
There's just plenty of stuff coming in on the text lines. It's just too late.
I got one of the good feel-good stories.
Oh, do you now? Yep. Oh, do you now?
I don't know if you guys know who Shaq Griffin is. Shaq Griffin is the standout linebacker from the University of Central Florida that only has one hand. He played so well at the Senior Bowl, and the guy is just an unreal athlete and football player for all, especially when you start factoring in the fact that he does everything he does essentially minus one hand. The NFL has taken notice, and they've invited him to the NFL Combine so that he has a continued chance to try and make it. I would love to see this guy on an NFL roster. For whatever, whether he's a linebacker, special teams, whatever, this dude's ticker, his heart, the way he plays the game, he belongs on an NFL roster. That'd be a very cool story.
Yeah, it would be. That was really cool. Kind of like when one of my favorite moments of the year was at USC when they let the blind
center.
The long snapper.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they let him get in on an extra point. That was pretty cool.
Now check it out when he starts throwing passes.
No.
Yeah, because in the offseason, he's on USC's practice field with his buddy and a dog and just said, go. And they're just trying to tell him like the route he's going to run or everything like that. The guy can't see. Yet he's throwing slants. He's throwing a long ball. There's no limit.
Really?
Have you seen the kid hit a golf ball?
No.
Same guy at a Top Golf, and they show him hitting drives, launching it.
No kidding.
That dude has no limits.
That's
he's a great story. You're right.
Yeah, I think I'm doing something good because I get up before 9 o'clock.
No, you don't.
I'm like, boy, look at the willpower I have. Look at the dedication I have. That's nothing.
9 o'clock. You get up like 11.
No, I got up at 5 o'clock this morning, so suck it.
So you rolled over and then went back?
Nope, got up because the cat was throwing up all over the place. Yeah. Yeah, frickin' see?
Ass hat, what do we call him?
Who?
Your cat.
What did you call him?
What did the guy call Brady's kid?
Oh, piss ant.
Piss ant. Freaking piss ant cat.
Hey, man.
That's what I'm saying, brother.
I want Joel suspended for calling my cat a piss ant right now. I want him gone. 2 weeks.
Put a glove on. We'll talk. When you become Tom Brady.
That's right.
All right, that'll about do it for us. As we wrap it up and put a bow on it, that means the next present you will receive in your ear at the top of the hour will be Fred, AJ, Jong, and the
Blitz.
Or you
can just check out the podcast.
And you can do what Nick said and always check out all of our podcasts online. As we make sure if you missed anything on the big show, there is a way to still retrieve it. For Nick, for Barry, I'm Joel. Tomorrow's a Way Back Wednesday. We've already told you what it's going to be. We'll post the list once we get to it. But we look forward to talking to you again tomorrow and the rest of the week and every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. But I could never live the way they
were. Yeah, boy. ESPN 97.5.